Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe with you live today at the BetMGM Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. It will be open in about an hour. You can come by and see us. Caroline will be here. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
Nice here.
Jared will be here. Max will be here. It's
can
a
I
good time.
Tell you something before our next guest comes on. I got a problem with somebody who grows up in Denver and spent their college years up north, and they're afraid to drive in the snow like our next guest.
Wait, is that right? Is that true? Chris Sanders? Are you
Hello.
Afraid to drive in the snow?
Man, heck no. Yeah, I'm from Denver, Colorado. I grew up there. And I remember, I think it was Blizzard. I think it was 1982. We had a big time blizzard, but I ain't scared of no snow. I drive it in any day. I ride bicycles, tricycles in the snow. Let's go get it.
I've heard you've already gone to the major run to the grocery store because you're scared of the winter weather.
I did. True story. And it was a funny thing because, you know, I just got married on the 29th, and this is the first time me and my wife went grocery shopping. You should have saw what was in our cart. It was awful. We're looking at each other like, "What you want? What you want?" I got honey buns. I got, you know, crabgrass. I'm like, what am I buying?
Honey buns, is that what you call your wife, or is that
no,
what
you? Oh, yeah. She's got some, you're trying to get me in trouble with PG now, mister.
I have to. So, Chris, we haven't had a chance to talk to you. Your thoughts. Mike Vrabel out as the Titans head coach, and now the search is underway.
You know, it's funny because Jared Stillman asked me last week. He said, "Chris, you know, by this time next week, do you think Mike Vrabel will be the head coach?" And I said, absolutely not. And the reason why I said absolutely not is because just watching his body language, you know, running off the field, when you look at him, when you look at a person that wants to be here, his body language is going to tell you everything. So when he walked out the field, it was kind of like, I'm ready to get out of here. And then another thing is if you really wanted to stay here, after the season, you always address the team on where you're going forward and what you want to do. He never addressed the team. That was a indication that he was gone.
Yeah, and look, the thing that I have said all week is I can make a case for him to be gone. I can make a case for him to get another year and still be here. My problem is how the organization has gone through the process and gone about it. That Amy Adams Strunk did not hold a press conference. She did a sit-down, taped, very scripted and calculated interview on what I like to call two-tone television with Mike Keith, state-run TV. She did that and then puts Rand Carthon out there, who the more – every time I keep bringing this up, the more I feel bad for is Rand Carthon. Like that he was put in that position because he's basically put up there to answer questions about something that he didn't have anything to do with.
Yeah.
And then now, you know – he's got to go be the GM and, you know, lead the coaching search and all that stuff. So that's been my frustration, Chris, is that the organization just hasn't looked very strong through this process.
I agree 100% because, I mean, you look at Rand Carthon. I mean, he looks very uncomfortable, you know, answering questions. He's trying to answer questions that he can't answer. So you put him in a bind and you put him in a situation to where it makes him look like he doesn't know what he's doing. But at the end of the day, I think that the reason why – everything was kind of going in disarray is because I think, and I'm never going to disrespect the coach because I'm a coach. I just think that Mike Vrabel wanted to run it his way as opposed to run it the Tennessee Titans way, and that just doesn't work. You know, I respect him as a coach and I respect him as a man, but at the end of the day, when it's so much uncertainty of who's making the decision, the uncertainty of who's making the right decision in the organization, it just got to a point to where, you know, he had to get out of here. And then another situation to where, you know, kind of has me scratching my head to where if you're the offensive coordinator and you are the head coach and you're making personnel decisions, why would you go to the owner and ask him to hire somebody to make those decisions for you? Basically, that was a lob to say, you know what, I'm allowed up here, lob it up so you can dunk it and fire me. And that's exactly what we saw, you know, these last couple of days.
We're talking to Chris Sanders, who's one of the few players in NFL history to catch a touchdown and avoid hitting a Buick Electra in the end zone at Riverfront Stadium.
Hey, let me ask you a question before you ask me a question. I'll give you $5. He has a record in the NFL. Who has the least amount of yards in the NFL? And he has a record in the NFL.
I don't know.
Least amount of yards?
Minus 36.
Oh, rushing yards. Yes, yes, rushing you. Yards. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a record. I just wanted to put that out there.
You got a couple of records. You almost got a record by getting hit by a car in the end zone at Three Rivers Stadium and Riverfront Stadium. All right, so let me ask you this.
Sure.
If you're a head coach, look at the Titans, and you've got a quarterback in place, what kind of coach do you need? Because people are like, well, you got to get an offensive-minded coach. Yeah. Well, can't you just hire a good head coach? You can hire a coordinator.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of things that go on here with this.
It's funny because when people say a defensive-minded coach, you got to remember he's not going to be calling the plays. Even if he's a defensive coach or offensive coach, you know, the only person that kind of does that is the coach from the Kansas City Chiefs. He's the head coach, but also he calls the plays. If I'm a head coach and I'm a defensive-minded coach, I'm going to go get the best offensive coordinator. Yes. The best offensive coordinator out there right now is the guy from the Texans, Bobby Slowik, if I pronounce his name right. The reason why I would want them to go get him is look at what he did with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is the fifth all-time rookie of all times to throw for 4,000 yards. So if he can develop him into, you know, C.J. Stroud into a great quarterback at a young age, now you got a situation to where you go get Bobby and say, you know what, I need you to develop Will Levis. Because if Will Levis plays well and you get a great offensive line, you know, you get some wide receivers in here, you got a solid defense, now you're building something that's so great.
What happens, though, Chris, if you go after this Bobby Slowik and he's like, nah, I'm good, and then, like, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it would. I think it kind of, if you're Amy Adams, like, it would hurt a little bit.
It would, but just throw a couple of more dollars out there. You know what I'm saying? If you say I'll give you $10 million, I'll give you $12 million, money talks. You know what I'm saying? And I know it's not always about the money, but I think with Bobby being in so high demand and using a rookie, C.J. Stroud, to play at the level he's playing in so early, you know, he's a hot commodity. So if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, I will go to him and say, listen, we need you here. I want you here. I want you to create the identity of this office. I want somebody that I know that I can trust to come in here and make this office so special. I know, you know, Tim Kelly has done a great job, but you get somebody here to develop a quarterback, because at the end of the day, you may have a great quarterback, but if you don't develop, he's going to stay stagnant.
What I think is going to happen is Titans legend Chris Sanders named the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans. We'll come work with you. Joe can work with the offensive line. I'll be the get back coach.
No, I want you the linebackers coach with the one bar face mask. I got to have you out there.
But I tell you what, though, Chris, if you hire me, we're going to hit in practice. I don't care what this
see. No, look, we're going to call Dave Craig to be the backup quarterback. He's
Well, Chris, when you told me we did the Music City Bowl together, you told me when we found out that Hugh Freeze at Auburn, once the season started, they didn't tackle and they don't practice tackling. That blew our mind. We're like, what in the world's going on? I'd have guys tackling every day. I'd get fired in a week, but I don't care.
You know, I don't say bad words, but when you told me that, I was like, what in the Sam E. Garfunkel is going on? Because the thing about it, if you're gonna tackle, I mean, if you're going to be a winning team, you got to do fundamentals. What's some of the fundamentals? The fundamentals are tackling, blocking, you know, running routes, catching the football. Those are fundamentals. And if you're not doing the essence of fundamentals, you're going to get in the game and you're going to get exploited. You know, Big Joe, that's what we saw in the game. When they got in the game, Auburn couldn't tackle Gerbil out there. They couldn't. It was awful. Anybody that was out there, they couldn't tackle. They were missing tackles. They were out of position. The angle was bad. And me and you are looking like, what are we doing here?
Right. You're right. You know what I would do? I'd make one phone call.
What was that?
Everybody's like, oh, Mike Munchak, get him to come fix the offensive line.
Whoa.
Nope.
Whoa.
I'd call Coach Jim Washburn and say, come make this D-line mean like you had back in the day. Come make somebody cry.
I'm sorry about that.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, because that's what they need. Like when Wash was running the D-line, I mean, those were some dudes.
But you know what made them dudes, Chase, is each coach had a relationship with the players.
Yeah.
That makes a difference. Listen, if I'm a great coach but I don't have a relationship with you, I lose. If I wear the badge, if I'm the receiver coach, you do what I say. That doesn't work. That's why Washburn, you know, and Munchak was so good, is because he loved the players. He cared about the players. He said, you know what, even though I'm coaching you, I want to bring the best out of you, not just on the field, but off the field. And that's why those guys play for him. Those are one of the best coaches I've ever been around.
You were very lucky in your career. You got to play for one head coach, but at some point you had to switch off to coordinators. And I know it's not the same as a head coach coming in, but how different was it when Steckel left and Heimerdinger came in?
I got cussed out every day. That's the only difference. Hyman didn't get talked about. My cousin did not know about. He cussed me out. I mean, he did. I mean, I was like, dang, I got a cousin? I'm like, okay, so he cussed me out. But here's what I love about Heimerdinger. He said this after, you know, I retired and, you know, he was in the office. I came and met with him. He said, Chris, I asked him, I said, you know, Heimerdinger, why would you cuss at me and yell at me all the time? He said, because I saw something in you. And I sat there with a tear because I didn't think he liked me. But a tear ran down my eye because in my mind, I thought he was being mean. And in my mind, I thought that he didn't like me, but he was pulling greatness out of me. But when I had, you know, Les Steckel, let me tell you about Les Steckel. When I first got in the league, I was a messed up kid. You know, I was prideful. I was made it about myself and just on the road of destruction. And he sat me down, and the first day I came to practice, I was the only one in the parking lot. And he said, "This Chris, he said I've been praying for you." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I prayed for you to get here." And he sat me down because he can tell that my life wasn't right. He said, "Man, I'm not just going to coach you as a player. I'm going to help you be the man that you've called to be." And that's why I love Les Steckel, and that's why I love Heimerdinger.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And those are great stories that you have told for sure. Chris, appreciate it as always,
man, appreciate
my friend.
You guys too.
Have a great weekend.
I love you guys.
You too. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. Yeah, I mean, do you look at those Heimerdinger-led offenses? I mean, even when he came back in 08, you know, and after the Norm Chow experience.
Yeah,
right?
It just – Dinger and Les Steckel just did a lot for this offense. And we'll see if the Titans can find – you know, something like that again. I mean, look, the more I read about and hear about Bobby Slowick, we've talked to John McClain about him. I like a lot of it, but it's just, is he ready?
He's got the what working with Rand Carthon for so long in the 49ers. And again, I mean, I think that's their guy, and for what he's done for, like Chris said, with CJ Stroud. But back to Washburn for a second. I know we got the break. But I told you, he's the one I've never seen a pro athlete cry on the football field. And Jim Washburn made Jesse Mahalona, rest in peace, cry on the practice field. And it's still one of the bewildering, craziest moments covering the Titans I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I and he's talked about that.
Because Washburn was unabashed. He was I'm not going to apologize.
Nope.
He goes, Heimerdinger saw in Chris Sanders, he's like, there is something inside him that he's got to come out.
Yep.
And I'm going to pull it out.
I have something I want to bring up about Rand Carthon in this whole process coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.